All right. Welcome back to the Comic Book Revolution podcast. As always, I'm your host, Rock. By my side, riding shotgun, as always, Kevin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. It's been a while since we've done this.
Yes, it has been. It feels good to be back, doesn't it? Feels good to be back.
Yeah, we're going to talk about comic books. We've talked about manga enough.
That's right. We need to give a little bit of love to comic books. Kevin, I won't lie. We've DM'd about this a lot, and I find my hours for entertainment is rapidly shrinking because of the amount of content that is out there. I mean, dude, Mrs. Rock and I were talking yesterday while we were walking the pugs, which is really, I should tell you, it's more like dragging the pugs and then having to carry them after they've given up on life. We're walking, and she's like, there's so much content with all the streaming services out there. It's almost overwhelming, Kevin, because your friends are always sending you DMs like, hey, you got to try this. You got to see this. You got to what, you know what I mean? And you got a list of stuff to do. And it's like a mile long because it's just so much. And because of that, comics kind of took a back seat because I was getting more into manga and I'm watching a lot of movies and shows and everything. And sports, of course, too, Kevin. Jeez, football season takes up time. Well, man, I dove back into comics, a couple weeks ago. I was like, you know what? I had some time on my hand with college football. We only got, a couple of games left now. And I don't watch bowl games. I only watch the playoffs, right? And so I got more time on my hand. So I said, you know, I'm going to dive back into comics. Read Comics did a weekly ranking for comicbookrevolution.com. Had a blast reading comics. There's plenty of good stuff out there. Mm-hmm. So I was having fun reading comics again. And I kind of feel like, you know what? Football season is going to be ending soon, Kevin, right?
Yeah. Aren't you ready for the XFL to come back, man?
With
the
Somehow, I don't think I'll be watching the XFL. I don't think I'll be driving up to the DC Defender games, Kevin. I don't think that's going to happen. I feel more excited. I feel like we got a lot going on. I feel like I've got more energy than before. So I'm really looking forward to 2023 in the world of comics. Actually, Kevin, for the first time in a while, I'm looking more forward to the comics than I am to the movies and the TV shows, to be totally honest with you, which has not been the case for quite some time, to be frank.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we'll be talking about more of it, but 2023 will be a very interesting year in the world of the comic book related stuff, not comic books themselves, but everything surrounding the adaptions for it. Cause we're ending 2022 in a very, very questionable in terms of, we just have so many questions of what the futures of these brands will be because we just don't know. And with all the changes on both on the Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery site, especially.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Before we get to that, Kevin, let's do a little housekeeping. As always, you can listen to the Comic Book Revolution podcast on all podcast services, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon. Please make sure to rate and review with 5 stars. It really helps people find the podcast. We love to hear from our followers as well. You can, of course, download and listen to our sister podcast, as we referenced, the Manga Revolution podcast, on all of the same podcast services. You can always head over to our website, comicbookrevolution.com. There you can check out all of our reviews, news, commentary, and what's going on in the world of manga, comics, anime, whatnot. We have a Comic Book Revolution Facebook page. You can go check out that. You can follow us on Twitter at CBRevolution. And you can also follow the manga Twitter account for our website at the Manga Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Rock with 2K's Revolution and on Instagram also at Rock with 2K's Revolution. And you, Kevin?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, the Kevin Lioness, and then also on Instagram at the Kevin 007. And I also want to say, Rock, because it's the end of the year. Yep. So one thing that you and I know we're doing, especially the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We're going to be releasing all our best ofs in the next 2 weeks. So everything from manga to comic books, every day we're going to have something best of related. Mm-hmm. I know the first thing I actually have up will be the best of anime, which by the time this podcast post should be up as well. And we're going to be doing different things like best manga story arc, best comic book storylines, best comic books and manga, obviously, and then integrating some anime stuff in there. So I think anybody that listens to this, be sure to check out the next 2 weeks because we're kind of ending the year with how light year is, especially on the comic book side of things. Everybody's kind of shutting down for the next 2 weeks on the entertainment side. So we figure it's a good time to release all our selections for the best of both on the manga and comic book side.
There you go. Absolutely. Got to end 2022 in style, Kevin. Let's turn our attention to the topic at hand. On this episode, we will tackle Marvel Comics and are looking forward based on their solicitations for January, February, March, and what they have slated for movies and TV shows. Let's take a look at Marvel Comics first in 2023, what we think we're going to get. And then we'll do in a separate episode, we'll tackle DC Comics and what we think we're going to get from them in 2023. Kevin, you and I have looked over the January, February, and March solicitations. There's a lot there to try to process and try to figure out what Marvel wants to focus on in at least the first half of 2023 and maybe what they are intentionally kind of leaving up in the air or not addressing at the moment. To me, Kevin, I kind of want to start with what really is obvious when you look at the solicitations, and it's X-Men and Spider-Man. They're driving the ship right now, Kevin. That's what Marvel is leaning on for their sales numbers. Those are the two franchises that are powering all of their success. Those are the two franchises, Kevin, that make up the majority of the comics that they're releasing in the beginning of 2023, at least through the first quarter. A lot of attention is being given to X-Men and Spider-Man. What is your impression based on what we're seeing in the solicitations for the first 3 months for those two franchises going into 2023?
Yeah, you bring this up when Marvel and DC were actually giving us like a little bit more sales data than they are as of the last couple months. They're not really releasing that data. I know that it's much to your the bane of your existence.
I know. Cowards.
But one thing that always kind of stood out, even especially like the last year and going into 2023 is, not just Spider-Man is always on his own. He's kind of his own animal where his popularity is his popularity. And especially with the Spider-Verse stuff that's coming out and like with Across the Spider-Verse, I think we should expect more Spider-Verse related content.
Definitely.
Because we are kind of getting that in March with Spider-Gwen is getting her own Clone Saga story and kind of joining Miles and Peter having had their Clone Saga stories already told. But when it comes to like the more general Marvel, I think the thing that has stood out to me the last year and going into 2023 as well is that they are super reliant on X-Men, because this last year they just had the crossover with the Avengers and Eternals, that event. And right after that event, they are going into a crossover storyline with Spider-Man, which is started this past month and is going to go end in February. And then right after that, they're going into a crossover with Captain Marvel. Like, there's basically no time for the X-Men to do their own thing. They're crossing over with, obviously, Spider-Man. I think that's a big crossover. I'm not reading the story, but that's actually a rare crossover for me because those two franchises don't usually mix together.
Yeah, you're right.
Even though they've always kind of had a good relationship, but it's surprising that we haven't gotten many Spider-Man and X-Men stories, really, in comparison. But when it comes to the X-Men's relationship with the Avengers, we've just been seeing them like be used to kind of increase almost the popularity for the Avengers and even the Eternals recently as well, because the Eternals have kind of been more tied to the X-Men as of late because of the X-Men's now deviant status. So it's very obvious that Marvel knows even the lower selling X-Men title sells well for them. It sells as expected. I know it's not going to blow like the lowest, like Excalibur and stuff like that don't sell extremely well like the top tier titles, but for what you expect that title to sell, it probably sells as expected. I don't know if I could say that the same thing with Avengers. The Avengers titles, anything related to them, whether it's Iron Man, Captain America, Captain Marvel, they're not selling well. The only actual sellers for them isn't even the main Avengers title that has been kind of stagnant even under Jason Aaron, are the Thor and Hulk titles. They're the outliers more so than they are the norm.
That's right.
And that's always been, I think, Rocky. You probably know better than I, but just based on how I've seen things, I think Thor and Hulk have always kind of been the consistent sellers in the Avengers franchise. And then everything else has been like, there's been outlier runs for Iron Man, Captain Marvel, and Captain America, but it seems like they've never really sold well, and they still can't sell well outside of outlier runs.
No, I mean, God, Captain America, the last time I remember it selling well, Kevin, is during Brubaker's epic run. You know, back in the day. That's been a long time ago now, hasn't it?
Well, and in that same time period, Matt Fraction's run for Iron Man, was like the last was the last time Iron Man sold well.
That's right. It's been a long time. And how many different
and we've had Brian Bendis, we had Tom Taylor, we've had a lot of big creators, like semi big creators or big creators on the title that they haven't sold well. Even Mark Waid had a Captain America run that
didn't
sold okay, but didn't sell like didn't blow things out of the water like Thor and Hulk have.
Avengers has struggled to keep up with X-Men and Spider-Man. I must remove Spider-Man altogether. He's just a totally different beast. But yeah, Avengers has really struggled to keep up with X-Men. There's no doubt about it. It's unfortunate. The Avengers kind of had their moment in the sun, right? Before a secret invasion. Their moment in the sun. Then it went away.
What's interesting is that, and I think it's reflective of just how popular the X-Men are, is that when Marvel finally pays attention to the X-Men, like even a little bit of attention, they blow the Avengers out of the water. Even since Jonathan Hickman left the series, you could see that as long as Marvel pays a little bit of attention, or at least for Marvel fans, it's perceived they are paying attention to the X-Men franchise and not just straight up ignoring them like they did throughout the 2000s era.
That's right.
X-Men will sell just as well as Spider-Man, and if not better sometimes. And because they have so many different titles, they have a lot of sellers outside of Wolverine. They actually do have a lot of sellers. They just have to, all Marvel had to do is put a little bit of attention on them and show, they're not just supposed to be Avengers light, or we can't just use them to put over the Eternals or Inhumans.
That's right.
We could actually make them sell, and as long as we put a little bit of effort, and that's all they have to do.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because compared to Avengers, they put so much effort into, especially because of the MCU, Marvel put a lot behind trying to make the Avengers as big as the X-Men and Spider-Man, and I just don't think it's worked for them.
I totally agree. Let's be honest. All we're seeing is the X-Men reverting to the norm. This is what they did in the 70s and the 80s, and absolutely Godzilla stomping their way through the 90s, Kevin. It wasn't really until the Bendis years with the Avengers, that 2004 to 2012 period where Marvel just decided we're going to ignore the X-Men. But once they start paying attention to them, we're right back to where they were before 2004. They just sell well.
And the funny thing is, even when they ignored the X-Men were still sold solidly. Right. They didn't sell gangbusters like they are right now, I think. But even without attention, they still were like average.
Absolutely. Look, as a longtime X-Men fan, I mean, I grew up with the Chris Claremont X-Men. To me, I think X-Men, I immediately think of Dave Cockrum. X-Men, I immediately think of John Byrne X-Men. You know what I mean? That's my happy space. I love the X-Men. And I love Spider-Man. He was my favorite superhero when I was a little kid. I remember 6 years old. I had a snot-encrusted Spider-Man doll that I took with me everywhere. But and as much as I love those two, it is a little worrisome when you see a publisher starting to put all their eggs in one or two baskets to the detriment of other franchises. And the fact is, Marvel does have other good franchises. They're good, and they have been successful in the past. And it would be nice to see the Avengers getting some more TLC. I'm a little concerned that Marvel might be taking their eye off the ball when it comes to the Avengers franchise. I feel like they need to recommit themselves to the Avengers. They don't need to ignore, obviously, Spider-Man and X-Men. They just need to double down their commitment to the Avengers franchise, because I don't feel like that's happening.
I don't even know if it's that commitment, because I feel like they are committed to the Avengers. They're just not finding success in getting them over like they were in the 2000s. And one thing that I was thinking about with them, and even having read the most recent Invincible Iron Man run, and even Captain America and other stuff that they have going on with the Avengers related, is that they kind of have gone away from what made like the Ed Brubaker, Captain America, Matt Fraction, and that Iron Man era post-Civil War.
Yep.
Trying to, for Iron Man, obviously doing the Demon in the Bottle story like over and over again.
That's a huge miss, Kevin.
And then Captain America kind of resetting him to be more like traditional superhero, like kind of like he was in the 80s and 90s. And I think one thing that I would love to see Marvel do more of is kind of what Ed Brubaker did, and even Bendis and like the big five forward Marvel did back in the 2000s, was doing more genre stuff with these characters. Because when you have characters like, one reason I think Thor is very successful and continues to be successful for them is that he is sticking to what Walt Simonson did, is the mystical side, the grander cosmic side of Thor. Right. And they've kind of stuck with that side, and they've been consistent about like keeping Thor more of a cosmic character than just earth-based. Mm-hmm. And I wish they would see that and say, hey, you know what? Let's put these characters in genres. Like Captain America should be a super spy thriller. Mm-hmm. Iron Man should be like maybe a political thriller because of all the business side of stuff. And then Captain Marvel do more cosmic storylines with her, because she is a cosmic character. She's not supposed to be an earth-based character. And look at each character in the Avengers franchise, and even with Ant-Man, let's dig into more of the science stuff. We don't do that enough because all we're trying to do is tell traditional superhero stories. And I just don't think that that fits with, especially now, you want to try to do more genre stuff. And I think one of the most successful ones, unfortunately, did get canceled. But I think one of the most successful comic books that Marvel has had in the last like 2 years is the Black Widow run by Kelly Thompson was, and why I enjoyed it so much is that it was a political, it was a spy thriller,
right?
Like, and that totally fits Black Widow. Black Widow is not supposed to be generic superhero. She's more on the spy thriller side of things. And I think that's really where Marvel, if they had to double down on these characters are, we could set them in genres. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the best thing to do for the Avengers instead of trying to treat them all as general superhero story.
Yeah. I mean, look, my biggest complaint with how they're handling some of the Avengers characters in their solo titles, I agree with you. Captain Marvel has always been a cosmic character. Making that character some type of Earth-based, street-level, realistic character is silly to me. And my biggest complaint with Iron Man, those are the ones I really care about, is Iron Man and Captain America. Those are the two characters I most care about in the Avengers franchise. Stop deconstructing them. I'm done with that. You've got Iron Man. We got to have the guy drunk and going through the Demon in the Bottle story again. Come on. Enough with that. Move on. We've deconstructed Tony's character enough. I don't need that anymore. Same thing with Steve Rogers. We've made him a Hydra guy. Now his shield is the symbol of the evil organization, the big terrorist group, the Outer Circle. Enough. Stop deconstructing them. We've done it. We've done it ad nauseum over the past decade. Just move on. Let's build them up. Do what's cool about them. Focus on what's cool about them. What's cool about Captain America? It's what you say. He is a really badass international political espionage thriller spy story. Lean into it. It's cool. What's cool about Iron Man? Man, you can go a lot of different directions with that. Anime's popular. Manga's popular. You know what character is great for that style of story? Iron Man. It's not that hard. It's not that hard, Kevin. Stop deconstructing these characters to death.
Yeah.
Focus on what makes them fun and what makes people like them so much and feed that part of the characters. And it makes them more unique too, you know, and separate themselves from other superhero comics on the market.
Yeah. And even if you didn't want to dig into like deconstructing characters, I think the one thing that they've gone kind of like haven't done a really good job in is, especially right now where these characters have been around for 60 plus years. Iron Man is actually celebrated starting in March. Iron Man celebrating his 60th anniversary.
Isn't that amazing?
60 years of Iron Man.
God.
Now, that means that these characters have legacy and they're kind of trying to do that with Captain America a little bit by kind of they've been really focusing on elevating Sam Wilson's character. I know, Rocky, you don't like too much of that he's the second Captain America.
The Falcon is a great character. Kevin, when he has his own agency and uniqueness.
But I understand that in terms of because they are kind of positioning Falcon, like Sam Wilson, as the new Captain America for the MCU. They want to align that with them.
Of course.
But on the Iron Man side, I think one thing that I actually appreciate that, like, with like Rhodey and even Riri Williams, they're not just titled Iron Man. They actually have their own name of Ironheart and War Machine.
Yep.
And I think one thing with Iron Man that's always been a thing is the armor war stuff.
Yep.
And I think right now is a good time to start exploring more like the Tony Stark legacy. Don't explore not the Demon in a Bottle stuff.
No.
Actually explore the impact that Tony Stark has led this revolution of super armors and super weapons.
Yep.
And that's more of the angle that you should take is that what is his impact to the general world? How has he inspired that next generation? And I think Marvel hasn't done anything to do with that of how has Tony Stark really impacted the Marvel universe by inspiring all these people, whether good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
How has he left that mark? And he is actually a character I think has so much untapped potential on that side of things.
Yep.
That Marvel just continues to and that's why I especially didn't like this last Invincible Iron Man relaunch was they're just back to Demon in a Bottle.
Yeah.
And that's just tired and boring. I don't want that anymore. How many times do we have to go through that? If you want to make that a payoff of like, he does fall back because of all the pressures and everything, that should be more of a payoff than the starting point, you know?
I agree.
I think that that's one thing. And I would even say, I argue that like the thing that when you look at the Spider-Man and even X-Men, one thing that they're doing really well in, especially because they know these characters have been around for 60 plus years mm-hmm. now. With that 60 plus year history, they all have legacy. Like, you got to try and lean into that legacy now, you especially with readers that are much older. Mm-hmm. And even if you want to attract new readers, I think one cool thing is introducing them to like newer characters where, and that's going to be your end of like, oh, you have this eye for new characters, mm-hmm. but you're also dealing with classic characters and you got to deal with what the legacy of these characters are. And I think when we look at what the problem with the Avengers is that they just kind of hate that they're so like a legacy character. They can, I don't know if they hate that Iron Man's 6 years old. So they told every story they can with him instead of saying, okay, let's explore what that means.
Right. Look, right now we know that Jason Aaron will be off the title. He ends in March, right? So who takes over and what do you do with the Avengers going forward? What roster do you give them? Do you go all classic? What writer do you put on it? What does Marvel need to do with the Avengers with Aaron leaving?
Yeah, so for me, the two writers that come right off the top of my head is Donny Cates and Al Ewing. Yep. Those are, I think, should be the top two writers that if Marvel hasn't already convinced to write them, they should try and convince to write it. And when it comes to the roster, I've actually been reading a lot more Avengers comics. I know I've DM'd you about some of them asking you questions about it. But I think when I was looking back on the old like 70s, 80s, and even 60s Avengers, one thing that stood out to me, and I asked you about it, I was like, the Avengers have never really had a consistent roster. Yeah. And it's not until the Bendis run, really, like after Avengers Assembled, that where it started being like, we got to have the MCU Avengers appear all the time.
That's right.
And that's the big change that I think the Avengers have been through is that, oh yeah, we have to keep the consistent roster. We have to keep the same characters. Whereas before that, even going into Kurt Busiek's run, like there was no consistency in it.
No.
Iron Man and Captain America and all these characters were in and out depending on, obviously they had their own titles and stuff like that, but they were introducing, like when I was going through the Ant-Man story, one thing that stood out to me was that Tigra was like, had her like individual stories mm-hmm. in that because they were trying to integrate Tigra into the Avengers back then. Mm-hmm. And I kind of almost want them to go back to that. Just tell fun stories. You don't have to do big team stories anymore. You mm-hmm. get back in the day, they had one that stood out to me was the Hawkman and Ant-Man when Scott Lang was mm-hmm. kind of brand new character, and they just had a random Hawkman and a Scott Lang story where they go to the circus.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh, this is a random one-shot story, but it actually kind of works in this sense because you're building these characters up and building their chemistry up. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want them to go back to that. Let's tell one or two issue stories, different roster makeups. Characters can be in and out depending if there's other big events going on, like Iron Man has his big like demon in the bottle stuff. Mm-hmm. So obviously we can't use them right now, but we could use Tiger, we could use Hawkeye, we could use Ant-Man. So let's just tell a story with these three or four characters. It's still Avengers. And I think that's a direction I would instantly like use the fact that there's like 10 Avengers, active Avengers, and just mix and match them depending on things, then just tell like kind of 1 to 2 issue stories instead of trying to tell every story like it's in a big event.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll start with the writers. I agree. I think Ewing and Cates are kind of like your obvious choices to slot in on the Avengers. They seem the most ready and capable of the current authors that they have. So that makes sense to me. And I'm also with you as far as the roster construction. I also love the idea of letting the roster be more of a fluid roster where it's a large cast of characters and they kind of, they fluctuate and rotate in based on the story arc. So you're not locked into, we only have 6 characters on this roster, and that's the 6 characters we're going to have for 20, 30 issues. You know, I like the idea of having, okay, maybe we have 15 characters on this roster, and they kind of float in and out based on whatever we feel like doing on much shorter story arcs, because I know people think that the Avengers have always had a classic lineup, and that's true. They've had certain characters that are part of the team more often than not. That is true. But if you go back to the 70s and the 80s, Kevin, I think people would be surprised if they saw the list of characters that were on the team during that time period, because it's a lot. I mean, Kevin, in the 70s, you had Black Widow, Swordsman, Mantis, Beast, Moondragon, Hellcat, Wonder Man, mm-hmm. Two-Gun Kid, Miss Marvel. You had... And in the 80s, holy cow, in the 80s, you had She-Hulk, Tigra, Dr. Druids. You had, well, she was Monica Rambeau, whatever name she was going by at the time. I don't know. It changed so many times. May have been Spectrum or something. I don't know what it was. Star Fox was on it. You had a lot of different characters showing up in the 70s and 80s, just tons of them. And that was kind of fun that you had.
And we even had that with the Jonathan Hickman run too. Yes. Like Hickman kind of really took, you could, like, now I kind of almost appreciate Hickman's run even more having gone back and read it, because Hickman took that same concept of like, hey, the Avengers is a very fluid roster, mm-hmm. and that's what I'm going to do. I will mix and match characters all the time. Like, if you go back and read Hickman's run from the most recent Secret Wars, that's what he was doing. He was like mixing and matching characters. It was like, he was telling a lot shorter story arcs as well. And the Avengers were actually really successful during Hickman. And he rewrote what the idea of Avengers was as these cosmic characters, as they could, you could tell cosmic stories or you could tell grounded stories.
Definitely.
Just depending on the roster. And that's kind of the direction I kind of wanted them to go into. Like, look at what Hickman did so well. Look at what the 70s and 80s did really well. And it was just to tell random stories with random makeups and test out different character dynamics. And you're going to find a success run. Not every story has to have Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, and Captain Marvel. We could just mix and match like maybe one or two of those iconic characters with others, random ones, and they're still Avengers, because the Avengers, they're not the Justice League in that way. Yep. They've never been the heaviest hitters, because if they were the heaviest hitters, it would always be a Spider-Man, Wolverine, and some other X-Men would be in the team, right? They've been kind of the, before the MCU, they were the B and C and D listers, really.
That's right.
And they've kind of gone away from that because they want to try and present the core team as the A list.
Yep.
And that's kind of gone away from the identity of what the Avengers have always been successful with.
I completely agree. Well, Kevin, you know, we've talked about Spider-Man, X-Men, and Avengers, because those are the big franchises, obviously, in general over at Marvel. Before we move on past the comics with Marvel, is there anything from the solicitations new that really caught your eye and you thought, hey, this might be something worth checking out?
I think the only thing really that's not Avengers, X-Men, or Spider-Man related, that one thing that stood out, and I should mention this too because we just had the big event, is that they still don't have an idea of what they're doing with Eternals, and it seems like they're going dormant with Eternals after the event, even though that event's supposed to set up their future. So we have the first 3 months where no Eternals plans are. So that's, I think, something too notable. And then in terms of just titles, I think the only non of those three franchises is the Silver Surfer Ghostlight that I'm kind of interested in. And also the stuff that's going on with Fantastic Four Rock. I'm not sure if I think you started reading the Fantastic Four run. And I think they're having a really good direction, because I think they're the only ones that are using that, let's start off with a disaster and let's examine these characters really well. And I think so far Ryan North has done a really good job examining the Fantastic Four, and I'm really interested to see what he is going to be doing, because it seems like he is going with kind of what you and I are talking about. He's telling one shot style stories to begin his run, and it seems like the first five issues, that's what he's going with, is that I'm going to be telling one shot style stories. So I think if you have ever been interested in the Fantastic Four, I think Ryan North is a really good jumping on point with his run right now, because he's done, I really love the story that he did with Thing and Alicia Masters, and then also the Reed Richards and Sue Storm ones. And I'm really looking forward to what he's going to do with Human Torch. And then once he brings them all together, it is probably like the breakout title to end the year for me right now.
That's an interesting choice. I like that. I like that. For me, the only thing new that's not, I mean, since I can't pick something, I made their own rule here, Kevin. I can't break it. I can't pick Avengers, X-Men, or Spider-Man later, which is killing me, because there is Avengers War Across Time from Alan Davis and Paul Levitz, Kevin, and how do I not pick that? But I can't. Gotta stick my rule.
No, go for it. You should pick it.
and of course, I would pick Joe Fixit, who's being brought to you by Peter David and Yildre Senar, who I fell in love with Kevin when he did Legion of Superheroes. His art's so good. Anyhow, but I can't do it. So, playing by my rules, I think the one that catches my eye is Stephen Strange coming back in a new Doctor Strange ongoing by Jed McKay, and the art by Pasquale Ferry. I'm a big fan of Pasquale Ferry. I really like his artwork. In Jed McKay, I'm a little hit or miss on. Sometimes I like him, sometimes not so much. So that title intrigues me.
Yeah. And Jed McKay, he's probably my favorite up-and-coming writer, to be honest with you, because he's done an excellent job with everything that Black Cat related. I think he's done a really good job writing Black Cat. And his Strange book is solid. I've enjoyed like what he's done with Strange, and I'll be interested to see how he mixes what he's done with his Strange run with the Doctor Strange, that Stephen Strange is back.
All right, before we leave Marvel behind, Kevin, we did touch on the MCU's onslaught of 2023, because it's Legion, of course. Before we move on, is there anything from MCU in 2023 that you think is going to be particularly important, or in the positive or the negative, I guess?
I think overall, what's probably the two most exciting projects I am is, one is for two different reasons. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, because that's the last James Gunn before he completely focuses on DC. I think I'm kind of almost ready to cry at that one, because I feel like James Gunn does have some big plans, because he did go in knowing that that was his last Marvel project anyways before he even got the DC gig.
Yep.
And so I think he is going to do a really good job. I'm preparing to cry at that one. Mm-hmm. And then Ant-Man the Wasp, Quantumania, because that's going to be really the first time we see villain Kang. That is going to be incredibly important, because Kang is supposed to be the multiverse saga. It's big bad. So I'm going to be very interested to see how they set up Kang in Quantumania. Are they going to really dig into the variant stuff that they introduced in Loki with that version of Kang, and just what they're going to do with the character is, and how that's going to get set up. And then just how that's either helps or doesn't help the box office, because Ant-Man and the Ant-Man franchise has kind of been on the lower side of the box office.
It has been.
So it's going to be very interesting to see if, because how important Ant-Man and the Wasp will be to the future of the MCU, I wonder if that's going to give that movie a sales bump to be kind of more like around what Thor and Black Panther have done, because that's not where Ant-Man has been so far.
Yeah. The MCU doesn't really have much to offer me outside of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. That's the only one I'm really interested in seeing. Mm-hmm. What I'm more curious in seeing are really how the box office numbers go, because the more MCU movies keep trending downward in the box office. I mean, Thor and Love and Thunder was around the 730 million range. Black Panther or Wakanda Forever was around the 770 range. So the box office results are trending down for these MCU movies. And these aren't cheap. And they already don't look good with the special effects. So I'm more fascinated to see, do they keep looking like crap? And to the box office, does the box office rebound, or does it keep trending down? That's what I'm fascinated by, because the only movie I really want to see is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, because it's James Gunn. I got to see it. I'm invested.
I do wonder if, like, maybe that, because the era of billion-dollar movies is going to be much rarer now, and maybe we'll have one or two of those moving forward.
Spider-Man. That'll be your billion-dollar plus movie.
Yeah, and then we had Top Gun, and then the China bumped Jurassic Park this year.
But, I mean, out of all these Marvel movies, I mean, who do I think? Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, because it's James Gunn, because it's the third movie, because it has a big following, it's got a ride at Disneyland and at Disney World.
Yeah,
that's the only movie I see on the slate that may make a run at a billion. Kevin, that's my guess.
Oh yeah, I think Guardians probably will be closer to what Doctor Strange 2 made.
Yeah.
And I think really Ant-Man, as long as it's good, I think could hit that Thor Love and Thunder just by quality.
In terms
of the one that's questionable, honestly, to me, is how the Marvels, because the Marvels, which is Captain Marvel 2, is going to really be the one movie that's the reflection of, is the Disney Plus series helping or not helping the MCU out? Because the Marvels is where we're going to see Miss Marvel, the TV show, coming in. Are those fans of the Disney Plus show going to show up for this? Yep. And are they going to show up strong? Mm-hmm. So is everything that they've been doing with the MCU shows reflective on the box office? And I think that really where we're going to see that most is on the Marvel side. Are they going to get that bump from the MCU shows, or did the MCU shows really not matter at the end? Because while Miss Marvel, we got this more attention on Miss Marvel and introduced her to more fans, that didn't result in enough for the box office to blow up. Because look at Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange was very close to making $1 billion this year. Can Captain Marvel kind of do the same thing with that, and the bump of the Disney Plus shows during the pandemic era help it out?
That's going to be very interesting to see. I'm fascinated to see how the Marvels does, because you're right. I think Ant-Man has potential to leg it out to that Wakanda Forever, Thor 700 million range. I think that's doable. The Marvels, though, that's one that I'm less confident that it can leg it out to the 700 million range. But we'll see. It is absolutely going to be a referendum on the Disney Plus series. Are they important or not? And That will be fascinating because, as we know, Chapek is not there, partly because Disney Plus is bleeding money. It's very expensive to make all these shows. Well, they're going to have to work on keeping those costs down. And that's going to be hard given that their effects already look like crap. So they got to make less. Well, they got to make less stuff. Make less stuff every year so your effects don't look like garbage.
You could definitely see the crunch is impacting because like, they're stretching. They are stretching their production studio super thin right now.
It's too
like,
much.
It's insane.
It's very,
from what it sounds like, it's very inhumane what they're doing to their production studios.
Yeah, it can't. That can't continue. All right, Kevin, that wraps up Marvel Comics and our look ahead to 2023. Next episode, we will return and tackle DC Comics and their outlook for 2023. As always, everyone, we appreciate your support. Please make sure to rate and review us with 5 stars if you can. And check us out, this podcast and our sister podcast, The Manga Revolution, on all podcast services out there. And also, please be sure to stop by at comicbookrevolution.com for more articles heading out this week. Thank you for joining me, Kevin. Enjoyable as always. Until next time, everyone, be good and viva la revolución.